and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, 'cause their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. That your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They seek the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, 'cause their children's hell will slowly go by. One they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, anytime she goes away, anytime she goes away.
imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Joy.
I'm Yana.
Welcome.
Thank you.
On this beautiful day.
It is a lovely day. Hot but beautiful.
Well, you know, it normally, watch October. It could be even hotter.
We never know these days.
No, but we can't complain. Nicer weather here than it is on the rest of the country at the moment. So let us know a little bit about you, Yana.
Okay, well, we together, Joy and Yana, are Heart Soul Voice Ensemble. All one word, Heart Soul Voice. We met in 2011 through a mutual musical friend doing early music, medieval music. And we said at that time we'd love to get together and do some Celtic music. But as we've been working together these last 7 years, pretty much, just I think we just had our anniversary of knowing each other.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We've morphed into doing a lot of my originals as a singer-songwriter, still doing Celtic stuff, folk stuff, some instrumentals. And I've been really quite developing my own particular singer-songwriter repertoire, which is pretty extensive. And so anyway, that's how we got together, and we've stuck together. We have similar backgrounds in classical music also, so that hence that medieval music, Renaissance connection, but a love of folk music. Anything else you want to add, Joy?
No, sounds great.
So what did, Yana, what did you grow up listening to and that influenced you into getting into music?
Well, I'm of the generation that grew up with the Beatles, Rolling Stones, Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, Arlo Guthrie. So I have some pretty broad influences. You know, I listened to a lot of folk music at that time, Steely Eye Span, Fairport Convention, things like that, sort of the British folk rock. Although I wouldn't say my style is exactly like that. But I also have listened and studied a fair amount of jazz. I took some courses in high school at New England Conservatory in the jazz third stream program. And so that's a pretty huge influence on my being willing to improvise.
What about the classical?
Well, I was a church musician. I still am a church musician, but I was a paid soloist at a UU church in Jamaica Plain, the UU church in Jamaica Plain for, close to 3 decades. And that was kind of the mainstay of keeping me in music while I also did a bread and butter job as a programmer. And over the years, I've been in a lot of different a cappella groups doing classical music or Renaissance music, and I have a bachelor's in music and a master's in early music, so some pretty strong influence there, and I use actually that medieval influence is the modal style of medieval music is also carries over into folk music and a lot into my originals.
Joy?
I had a lot of influences in different styles and kinds of music growing up as well. I had a lot of classical. My mother was a ballet dancer, and so I heard a lot of classical music. And started playing when I was quite young, so classical was definitely an influence, but I also got into listening to Celtic music. We listened to the Chieftains. We listened to all different kinds of world music and styles. We also listened to the Beatles and the Stones, and we listened to a lot of that too. So I feel like I got a breadth of lots of kinds of music in my life early, and I studied classically, but also have played in Irish traditional bands, have played bluegrass, have done a lot of early music, have played different instruments as well. I'm a violist and violinist by trade, and I also play rebec and gambas and all kinds of other things too. So kind of like to dabble in everything.
And Boston's quite a place.
It is a great place for music. Boston has everything you could imagine musically.
You know, listen to any of the local bands. You know, I mean, we've had a few, you know, rock and roll bands that have done pretty well too. And also that great musical group, the Boston Pops and the Boston Symphony. I know they don't normally consider themselves a group, but an ensemble. And, you know, thank goodness for Arthur Fiedler for giving us the Pops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, what would you like to play for us?
Well, we've brought a smattering of tunes, all originals of mine. And I think we'll start with something Celtic-oriented. I sort of set myself a task of writing a song in the Celtic vein, similar to, I'm blanking on his name, but the Irish, there's an Cormac McCarthy. No, that's not it. But there's an Irish singer. His baby brother is Luca Bloom, but I'm blanking on his name. And he sings a song called John of Dreams, which is a really lovely song about how we all dream. And in any case, the style of that, if anyone in our audience has ever heard it, that's the style I was emulating to write my own Celtic song. And this is, and actually the title is Irish for Soulmate. It's called Anam Cara. And we pair it with a little polka called the Bittersweet Polka that will come in at the end of the song that I also wrote. And so Anam Cara, and it's basically, I kind of wrote it for my husband. We celebrated last spring our 30th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm trying to get my bearings with the light here. Oh, there we go. All right. Sometimes we crawl uphill on a road together. It's a tough road sometimes. It's always me and you. It's always me and you. Made of my soul, heart of my heart, I'm covered. We dine in the evening with a meal together. It's a glad day sometimes. We rest in the evening in a room together. It's a sad day sometimes. It's always me and you. It's always me and you. Made of my soul. Made of my off in the twilight with our hands together. It's a joyful life sometimes. We cry in the night with our hearts together. It's a trying life sometimes. It's always me and you. It's always me and you. It's you and me, a strong and bending tree that loves you like me. It's always me and you. It's always me and you. Made of my soul, heart of my heart, and I'm caught up.
Absolutely lovely.
Thank you.
And actually the first time I've ever heard a harp played live.
Oh.
The, you know, my introduction to the harp was Harpo Marx.
Well, he was actually quite an amazing classically trained harpist.
Yes, and yeah. We were talking about that actually yesterday, where, you know, Harpo walks into the room and there's no harp, so he takes the piano apart and...
I actually have a saying that's on my business card, the harp is just the piano sideways.
Irony, right?
Yeah.
And that was absolutely lovely.
Thanks.
So, what made you choose the harp? I mean, that's... You know, right. And normally you see a harp, I mean, if you've seen it in the movies or you see it, you know, the harp is normally, you know, either really small like they did in the, you know, with the cherubs and, you know, all the Valentine's Day and everything else, or it is extremely large. And this is, first of all, it's blue.
Yes, yes. Well, the harp that I have with me here today is, this was actually made in Germany. By Klaus Hüttel. He's a harp maker who specializes in early music harps and some folk harps. I met him at the early music festival that happens in Boston every 2 years. And I really liked one of his particular models. This harp supposedly is based on the harp that Mozart's harpist played. And it's a fairly It's about maybe 5 feet tall. It has levers. It doesn't have pedals. It's not an orchestral harp. So a lot of like Irish, Scottish, Welsh folk harpists will play a lever harp, although there's so many different kinds of harps. How did I get into playing the harp? Well, when I was studying medieval music quite many decades ago, I had never really played a harp. I started playing piano when I was 7. I started singing when I was 2, so I've always been singing. But there isn't any medieval music played with the piano, maybe a teeny little organetto, and I didn't want to be an organist. And I love the harpsichord, but it wasn't really drawing me to it. And so I met a bunch of harpists at the program I was in at that time and got intrigued and found a maker. The first harp I bought was a maker in Vermont, Lynn Lewandowski, and so I have two of her harps that are not lever harps. They're little, smaller medieval harps that are just in the key of C. And there aren't too many harpists that have only one harp, by the way. Just like guitarists have at least 10, I have about 6 harps. And I work as a music therapist, so I have 2 other harps, little harps, that I use in music therapy. This one's just for performing. The blue is because it's therapy for me to play the harp. It's like some gabis and fiddlers, the vibration holding the instrument, and it's like I'm encompassing this thing, and the piano is not the same, although I love the percussiveness of the piano, and some songs I write I do on the piano because they don't work on the harp, but it's so organic. It's wood. These aren't gut strings, but they're very malleable. They give, they speak, they ring. I don't know, it's like right at my face. So it's that's what I love about it.
And the multicolored strings.
Oh, well, the C's are red, and the blues, the C's are red and the F's are blue. So that you kind of have a geography of where you are. Although many of the ancient traditional harpists were blind, O'Carolan of Irish fame, he was a blind traveling harpist. You kind of get a muscle memory of where things are after a while. You kind of have to. You can't really be constantly looking at the strings. And as a singer, when I'm trying to engage with my audience, I do have to look up.
But to have a harp that is based upon the harp that was played with Mozart,
it's
great to be in the same sentence as Mozart.
Yeah, and I love playing Mozart on the piano. I love his sonatas. Those are my favorite thing to play at the piano. I used to cure my headaches as a kid by playing Mozart sonatas. I don't really play much Mozart on this instrument, but that doesn't mean I never will. Now you've intrigued me. I'm going to try that.
Matter of fact, I had an interview earlier today with Chris Beard, who is a great blues musician, and he mentioned that about 10 years ago, he had a stroke. And had to learn his music back again. And I said to him, the therapy of music, which he's now back fully well and performing, and how important music is because it's universal. I mean, you don't need to understand the words. You don't have to be from the same country. Music is probably the most important language we have. And the way you two ladies play it is, I'm speechless. How's that for a compliment?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What would you like to play next?
I have an original. This is it's a very different, more modern, contemporary piece based on a true story. It's called Wheels of Chance. As a preface, I will say, in high school, I had a young man then that I dated, had a huge crush on him, but when I went off to college, we, you know, didn't see each other, and later on, we actually reconnected. We're friends again. Over the years, he's also a musician, so we travel in some of the same circles, but this was an incident that occurred, and it's a train song, so you will hear the harp actually sounding like a train. That was another challenge. I like to give myself little challenges, so I challenged myself to, like, guitars can make train sounds, so that's what I decided to do. And it's a little bit also an homage to Emmylou Harris's Tulsa Queen, which was the name of a train that her lover was getting on and going away. But in this story, I'm the one on the train, and I'm moving away from the person that I cared for. So Wheels of Chance.
inside my throat. I let you bound away the longing for you, burning inside my coat. Tucked in the pocket by my heart. Tucked in the pocket by my heart. Then the wheels of chance pulled me away from you. The wheels of chance pulled me away from you. The wheels of chance pulled me away from you. Away from you. Away from you.
Just with the harp, the first violinist I ever saw. And you're going to laugh at this and think I'm actually crazy on this. Was Larry Fine of the Three Stooges.
Really?
Yes. He was actually a concert violinist.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
When he's, you know, when they're in there and, you know, they're breaking his Stradivarius, it's like, you know. But he actually was, they were all great musicians. And mm-hmm. It's funny that my first exposure was comedy and music.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about the violinists today who are now going electric?
Oh, I think all kinds of violinists can go all different directions. You see that a lot. And most musicians need a lot of versatility to be able to be musicians and make a living at the same time. So I've played on electric instruments. I have made this instrument electric, playing in different bands, playing different things. I think it's great. I think you need to know your instrument well. You need to know your audience well and what they're looking for. And as long as you're enjoying the music you're playing and loving it, I think it's great.
Well, we have, you brought us a great new album. Dylanology. Low budget tribute to the songs of Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come up with great albums. They had one for the Stones. They had one for David Bowie.
Yeah.
And now this one.
And the Beatles and the Monkees. Beatles,
yes. I got to find the Monkee one. I got to get all of them and get the Monkee one. That's, you know, the first band I ever heard was the Monkees. And
hey.
Yeah, absolutely. And they became a band. You know, that old practice, which
Oh, they were awesome. I grew up with them, so
me too.
So did I. And you know, it's that we still have three of them performing. And I know that Michael Nesmith is coming to town very soon.
Oh,
to
cool.
Perform with his son. And Mickey Dolenz was in town about 2 months ago at the Regent Theater for the re-showing of the movie, 50th anniversary showing of the movie Head.
Oh, and I've only seen clips from that. It's very bizarre.
It is.
Well, there's Jack Nicholson in it,
Jack
right?
Nicholson was one of the main writers of the movie. So, but I got an opportunity to meet Mickey. I got an opportunity to meet Jack Nicholson many years ago. After he had done, I'm trying to remember the movie. But,
5 Easy Pieces?
No, this was the very emotional one.
Cuckoo's Nest, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No, I actually played his part in school. McMurphy, yes. Terms of Endearment.
Oh, yeah.
And that was right after that, and the Celtics were playing the Lakers. But nicest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Had a couple minutes to talk to him before the press all came over, and you couldn't get near him after that. But tell us about the song that you have done on this album.
Okay, well, I have two, but the one that you're about to play is Emotionally Yours. The other one is Trust Yourself. These two songs are from the Empire Burlesque album of 1985. They're not done very much by other people. Although Carlene Carter has a great cover of Trust Yourself. And the Emotionally Yours, I've I was when I was volunteered to be involved in this compilation, I just thought, well, there were a lot of the standards that everybody had already picked. So let me kind of look through his,
anthology.
Catalog?
Catalog, thank you. And see what titles intrigue me and what, because I originally wanted to do Make You Feel My Love, but a lot of people have done that one. And Adele being a pretty amazing one and some other amazing ones. And so I sort of was intrigued by those two particular titles because I'm a therapist and a psychotherapist. So Emotionally Yours, I found a video with Dylan singing it. He sings it actually really badly, but I could tell that the song was really itself was really beautiful. And I did find some other versions on YouTube and Spotify, but it resonated with me, and it's actually, the form of it is very much like the way I write a song, or some of my songs, two verses, a bridge, and then a final verse, and both of them are in that format, and Emotionally Yours is a straight-up love song, and no weird images, it's just typical love images, and it's just a gorgeous melody, gorgeous chords, and it fit really well on the harp. And these were a challenge for me. I set up a little home recording studio, and all the dubbing and tracks is just me. The Emotionally Yours is pretty simple. I think there's only two or three tracks. The Trust Yourself has like seven tracks, and on that one, I sing soprano, alto, and tenor, as well as I have like two harp tracks, something like that, and a bunch of dub tracks. So it was really fun. So anyway, I'm going to let you play it.
Enjoy.
You're the one I'm living for. when I see you as if I've never had a thought. I know this dream, it might be crazy, but it's the only one I've got.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron. That's what's really happening.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a beautiful song. It really...
Well, you know...
It's heaven to sing it, truly.
Many times that I hear music, it's the first person I hear play the music that owns the music. Mm-hmm. With the Beatles, with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, it was Elton John. Mm. With Tommy, it was also Elton John, because with the Pinball Wizard, I had not heard The Who before that. Because you figure you're 13 years old, the movie comes out, you've got all those great musicians and singers. But we were talking about the album. And it's quite an album. Mm. Look forward to hearing the rest of it and hearing your other cut. And it's just great that, it's always a, from what I've seen so far, always a two-disc set,
mm-hmm.
which gives life beyond the musician, done by such great local musicians and artists.
Yeah, there's definitely like 36 songs on there, 18 on each CD. So, we have a choice of things. I know maybe we only have time for one or at the most two live pieces. We have another love song that's kind of a soul song, or we have a jazzy contemplative song about surviving in times of absurdity.
Jeez, it sounds like now.
Yeah.
I think we have time for both.
Okay, all right. Which order do you think?
Absurdity?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to do Absurdity. This is based on a quote from Albert Camus. I draw from the absurd three consequences, which are my revolt, my freedom, and my passion. there is no love of life without despair of life. And if you took any high school French or literature, Albert Camus wrote The Plague, which a lot of kids in high school have to read, or college.
Magic Mountain.
What?
He also did Magic Mountain, didn't he? No, it was Thomas Mann, sorry.
Ah. Yes. Yeah.
It was still very, very deep.
Yeah. So he was a philosopher as well as a novelist. And so this is called Absurdity. Right.
Thank you.
and I see the rain. I look outside my window and I see the rain. But for the rain, there wouldn't be the flower there. But for the rain, there wouldn't be the flower. How absurd. How absurd, how absurd, how absurd. No love without despair, no man without a tear, no freedom without a scar, just passion, just passion. Go.
Not absurd. Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's sort of an absurd ending. When I first presented this to Joy, she said, "You want to end with that?" And I said, "Yes! That's the whole point."
So everybody knows before play the last song, where people can find you and find your music.
Okay. We are on SoundCloud. I have two SoundCloud accounts. We have some material together at soundcloud.com/heartsoulvoice, all one word, and also soundcloud.com/janhapharp, JANHAPHARP.
Do you have any shows coming up?
I have a solo, the Melrose Porch Fest, coming up on September 29th. We're actually looking for some house concerts to book. Other than that, we have I have a firm date. Hopefully Joy can do it, depending on the time, because she's in the classical and folk realms. She's highly sought after. But November 25 is going to be the release show for Dylanology, and it's a fundraiser for Boston Immigrant Justice Action Network. So all of the Dylanology artists will be there, and I'm going to play my two pieces there. I'm working on a feature at the Article 24 restaurant, which Adam Sickler is the coordinator of that open mic, and he usually has a half an hour feature. So we've got something that we're negotiating on that. So when I have a date, I will put it up somewhere. Mm-hmm. I do have a mailing list, which you can email janhapharp@gmail.com and put yourself on the mailing list. And I also have a blog called my name's pronounced Jana with a J, but janamariahappy.com. It's a WordPress blog, and I put a lot of my lyrics up there, and also I write poetry, and I put links to the SoundCloud songs, so if there's ever a lyric and there's a recording, you can go right there and find the song.
Fantastic.
Mm. Right. I think that's everything, right? So this last one we're going to do, I guess, it's this is called You Are the Comfort. It's another... Oh, you want to end with that one?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we're going to end with something rather different. Let me change my levers here and check a little tuning.
This tune is called Nevertheless, She Persisted. And I bet most of you know when it was written.
Yeah, not long after Elizabeth Warren stood up to Mitch McConnell. in the Senate. So, yeah, this is kind of combining. I do write a lot of songs about social justice. So this is one of them. So let's see, I think I've got all my, nope, that's good. Sorry, I'm saying all these nopes because I always have to check where my levers are. All right, okay.
Now I'm watching and, you know, with a guitar you strum it, with a harp you pluck it.
Yep.
But it's also, I'm seeing some strumming too in some ways.
Oh yeah, well, that flourish that you always hear that